Well, amen. He's still the answer. Wouldn't it be something if in the Middle East we had a religion of peace truly over there? What a joke to call it that. But some of them are trying to call it that. Lord Jesus is the answer. If we could get the gospel to them, that would be the answer, wouldn't it? I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews. I may be a little bit different than this. Hebrews, the last chapter, chapter 13. And I don't know for the tape room if I was going to title whatever I say tonight. I might call it talking about the preacher, or interrogating the preacher, or persecuting the preacher. I don't know. It might, all those titles might fit. Maybe you better say talking about the preacher. You know, a lot of folks do that, don't you? Anybody ever read the story in the Bible where some she-bears came out of the woods and tore up some folks for talking about the preacher? Somebody said, why does it say she-bears? Because that's the worst kind. Anyway, check it out. That's what it says. Hebrews chapter 13. Preachers are the butt of a lot of jokes. We know that. I think about the lady riding in the old days on a train, sat inside of a preacher. And she thought he was crowding her a little bit, and she just bumped him, said, get that bear belly over there. He said, madam, I'd have you know I'm a preacher. She said, well, then get the chicken coop over there then. One thing leads to another. I was thinking about this, I've been almost in this spot. You preach at country churches, especially in the old days, and Sonia can relate to this. There was no restaurant anywhere close to the church after church on Sunday morning. If some country family didn't invite you home for lunch, you just had a hungry day. That's all there was to it. But you sometime had some good surprises doing that, and sometime not so good. Been on both sides of that. But think about the preacher that preached that morning. They told him you're going home with a certain family, and so the family told him, said, our little boy will ride with you to show you to the house. We're going on so the wife can get the food on the table. Well, the preacher was a little worried. And so as he and the little boy rode, he thought he'd trick the little boy a little bit and find out maybe what they were having for lunch. So he said, would you happen to know what your mom's cooked today, what we're going to have for lunch? He said, yeah. I said, we're going to have goat. He said, well, how do you know we're going to have goat? He said, well, I heard mom and dad talking last night, and said they talking away, and finally dad said, well, I guess we might as well have the old goat and get it over with. Now, preachers catch it sometime like that a little bit. That's okay. Hebrews 13, I'm going to pick a few verses out and major on a couple of them tonight, I hope. Hebrews chapter 13, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And of course, you know, talking about Abraham. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Now think about this. That fits what we're talking about praying for those folks over in the Middle East, don't it? They're in the body of Christ also. You know, we're going to see them in heaven. Those kids that stood up for their faith, we're going to see them one day. Yeah, we're going to see them. So we ought to be willing to pray. I'm going to jump on down, though, to verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines.
For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Go on down with me. Let's pick it up in verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. And then finally down in verse 23, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he come shortly, I will see you. Now, a lot of debate over who wrote the book of Hebrews. I believe Paul wrote it. Now, he gave it, whether or not Timothy or somebody else may have written it, as far as the pen on the paper. And while it's not clear, and there's a lot of debate about it, I believe the reference right here to Timothy almost tells you for sure it was Paul, plus many other things we could say. And it's a tremendous book. And while a lot of people say, well, it's not for today, well, it may have its best meaning with the Hebrews in the tribulation period later or something. Still, the argument in the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is the better sacrifice. He's the better priest. He's the better way. And so it's destroying those of the Jews that might still want to trust the Old Testament way. And so I believe Paul did write it. I believe he was the capable one that God saved to be able to do that sort of thing. But I want to talk about the preacher a little bit tonight, and I'll try not to maybe be too personal. Everybody else talks about him, so I thought I would. Since I can't get on social media because I don't know how, thank God. And for you folks that crucify me on it, I don't read it, so you're wasting your time. Amen. I don't know a thing about it. I do want to say this. There's some verses in the Bible that as a preacher, I fear. I'm not talking about judgment in hell. Jesus took care of that for me. That's all right. I'm talking about when I have to step before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer, and that's what these verses said I have to do. I look at it here in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who've spoken unto you the word of God, that's got to be the preacher, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation. Then in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, so far so good, but here's the scary part. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, think about that, and I've thought about it through my whole ministry many, many times. And I think about when I step before the judgment seat of Christ, and there are things I'll have to answer for, like anybody, any Christian, anyone would have to that's saved. But at the same time, I fear as a preacher, I may be more on the hot seat. I may be more called on the carpet to give answer. And yeah, those are scary verses. I think ought to be scary verses to most any preacher about that fact. I'm hoping I can step up there clearly, and I believe I can now with a clear conscience that I can say, I'm going to have to answer for whether or not I got the truth out, whether I preached the word, whether or not I was honest with the word of God and the crowd that was hearing me, or whether or not I feared that I'd lose favor with this one or that one and cut it just a little bit. I've been told before that, you know, you'd do a little better. You might, a lot of folks might stick with you a little longer if you just cut it a little bit and be a little bit easier. But I'm scared of that, to tell you the truth. Afraid I'd get wrong with God. Amen. And I believe I have delivered it. Verse 9 here warns, if you look at it, and says, be not cared about with divers, that means different, and strange doctrines. Do you understand that that's happening big time in our day? Yes, sir. Jude 3 says, contend for the faith that was once delivered on the saints. Let me tell you something. You young men, you preacher boys in the college, listen to me. Look out for something new coming by and messing you up. When Jude said contend for the faith once delivered on the saints, it means it goes way back. It means it's traceable way back. It means it existed before, and you better be careful when you think all of a sudden you found some new doctrine. It may be an old heresy that's been resurrected. That's very, very much happening, I fear, even today. I fear America is selling out the truth from the pulpit. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if preachers that walked into God's house and in God's pulpit declared truth today? Boy, it'd blow the minds, wouldn't it, of some places? There's a few doing it. Thank God for every one of them that's doing it. We're not the only one, but at the same time, America's selling out the truth like never before. If you saw the Lakeland Ledger today, and I didn't take time to read all of it, but I saw in there where they were basically posing the question and giving pictures of those that Americans that are joining ISIS and joining the terrorists and asking the question, why do they want to go on jihad? Did you, anybody see that in the paper today? Oh, 2, 3, 4 hands. Well, if you got the paper, you ought to read it tonight, because that's a big question. Do you understand that by the hundreds in America, we have got teenagers joining ISIS, going over there, and some of them staying home to do their jihad here? Do you understand even the liberals are afraid of this thing? They're even talking about it. And the military men are talking about it. But once delivered on the saints is what we've got to stick by. Stick by that that doctrine and stay with it. Let me say this, and I don't have an example to show you, but back there in the tape counter, you'll see a little red and white book. It's an old one. It's called The Trail of Blood. And every one of you as church members, if you're saved, you ought to read that book. You say it's been around for years, but it's been neglected for years too. And the truth is, go back and read about the price your forefathers paid. While we're very disturbed, and rightfully so, with these emails that I shared with you this morning and again tonight, listen, that's been the history of folks that stood for the truth, and you can trace it all the way back, and the price and the blood they shed. We ought not sell it out so easy today. But we're doing it. We're doing it in too many so-called churches. I look at the text here and realize I've got to answer for some things. And I think about, I got to answer for the truth. And I want to stick by the truth. Listen, falsehood changes all the time. Real truth never changes. Real truth never changes. If it's genuine truth in Grandpa's day, it's genuine truth today. And if the Bible was true in his day, it's still true in our day today. And I'm talking about the old book, not none of the perversions. But the truth is, people are letting go of it today for various reasons. Now, the text here is talking about what the listeners are told to do. So this will kind of get to you as well as me. Look at it here in verse 17. And it says, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. I go back to verse 7 and look at it again here. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's any true preacher. Watch what it says. Whose faith follower? Whose faith follower? Considering the end of their conversation. Now, not just their talk, but their lifestyle has to back up their talk. But whose faith follower? Then it says in that same verse, considering the end of their conversation. Now, if you drew a little error in your King James Bible from the word end, the end of their conversation, you could go down to verse 8 in the first two words, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's their end. That's my end. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And the truth of the matter is, our faith, if you're following, if a man is doing right and he's telling you right and he's preaching the truth to you and he's saying, follow my faith, the end of it is he's going to lead you as he follows Christ. And you ought to follow that way, the same way. In my own case, I've seen a lot of people in this church follow my faith. I think they were following God, but they felt like that I was leading them to follow God. And there's been times through our history here at Landmark Baptist Church that my faith has looked pretty foolish to a lot of outsiders. It looked pretty foolish when I said, we're going to start a Christian school. And had some folks say, you can't do that, must be against the law. And I asked them, what law? There was no law. We started a Christian school. It's still going. And we're having a good start this year. Praise God for it. But I'm saying there's a lot of people that followed me when I stepped out on faith to start a Christian school. A lot of them followed me when we said we're going out into the jungle of the wilderness and build a youth camp. And boy, did that look foolish. Especially when we first cut in there. Amen. I remember about the time we got it built, before we ever had the first camp. And boy, we built it pretty crude out of the trees. I mean, the rafters and the buildings was trees we cut out. It's amazing. We had camp about 6 or 7 years with that kind of structure out there. And I remember some guy followed one of my church members or somebody out there. We were just beginning to finish up and get ready for the first youth camp. And he drove back in there. And me, I love nature. And I thought it was beautiful back there. And I thought the creek was pretty and the green trees was pretty. And I was proud of it. And he come up, jerk that he was, and said, what are you doing out here? You're just going to have a week or two of youth camp and you're putting all this work in it? I wanted to baptize him in the creek, but I didn't. I didn't buy what he was selling. I sent him on back. But he was telling me I was foolish to do what I was doing. But look how many camps we've had, how many victories we've had, how many souls we've had saved, how many great decisions for the Lord. And while it might have looked foolish to some outsider, some folks was following the faith. They were following on the plan, and God was blessing, and I'm sure glad we did it. Amen. The truth is, I could name a lot of things. The radio station, when we first started talking about the radio, and the devil fought it. He fought the camp. He fought the school. He fought the radio station. He fought everything we've ever done. You get his attention when you're doing something that's going to harm his cause and snatch souls out of the pit, brother. I mean, you're going to get his attention. We shouldn't be shocked, folks, when we do have an attack, when we do have something bad happen. The point is, we are fighting a real live devil, and he does know where we at, and he does know where sometime to get his darts in. But at the same time, that's the warfare God has ordered for us. And we ought to keep on doing what he tells us to do. The listeners here are told to follow them. I'm talking about a good preacher. I'm maybe a better one than me, but who've spoken to you the word of God, whose faith it says follow. And that faith is to lead you to verse 8, Jesus Christ. That's who the preacher that's right with God is following. There's no doubt about that. And then I move on just a little bit. And here's where I get a little concerned. When I realize I've got to answer for the sheep, the sheaves, the church members, and I wonder, and I've wondered to the Lord a lot and prayed to the Lord about it. Lord, I sure had a lot of them slip between my fingers. I've had a lot of them I don't know where they're at. I've had a lot of them I offended, and I don't know how or when or why. Do I have to answer for those? And I fear I do in some cases. I don't know. I'd like to answer for every one of them with joy. That's what the scripture talks about, don't it? Answer with joy, not with grief. And I can answer for a lot of folks with joy. I sure can. Through the years here, man, I could give you names of saints of God that's already in heaven. That was a special blessing to this preacher. And held up my hands, as it were, in the work and followed in the faith. And my, if it hadn't have been for folks like that, we wouldn't be here tonight. All that Landmark is tonight wouldn't be here. And I'll enjoy going around with the Lord and saying, how about that group over there, Lord? I'm proud of them. That's what they did. And they followed on, and they were faithful, and they were true, and they worked hard, and they just done the job. And I'd like to quit right there. I'd like to point them out and say, okay, Lord, that's enough. But I'm afraid he's going to say, there's a few other groups I need to talk to you about. And that's why I said I'm a little bit scared sometime when I read verses in the Bible. This bothers me somewhat. There's no doubt that it does. I think about old Moses. You know, Moses had a great ministry, didn't he? But you know, he run out of patience near the end. And he lost his temper. And it cost him going into the promised land. Now, I told the Lord early on in my ministry I wanted to pattern it a little bit after Moses. My wife will remember this. I told her, I said, I'm going to claim the promise of Moses. She said, what's that? I said, he lived to be 120 years old. I about decided I don't want to live that long, no how, but anyway. I said, he lived to be 120 years old, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. So far, God's been pretty good to me, but I hadn't quite reached that number yet. I'm getting closer. But the truth is, what bothers me about Moses is he didn't quite finish the job. God let him look over in the promised land, but he didn't let him go. Then I think of others that almost finished right, messed up. And that's a sad thing to always think about. I want to finish it with joy. I want to point out, Lord, here's the folks that you gave, the best people in the world that you gave to follow me and to work with me. And Lord, we got the job done. But he's going to say, what about the others? And I'm going to have to see some that I can't really answer for, I fear. I can't answer with joy. And let me say this. You have the story in the Bible about the 99 and the shepherd going after the one. How come he couldn't be content with the 99? Why do you have to go after the one? And that's where preachers hurt, is when we lose the one. Somebody says, well, Landmark's got a big membership. It don't matter if you lose a few. Still hurts. Always hurts. Say, what does it feel like? Let me be just real honest with you. There's a void that comes in there. Have you ever been, most of you haven't much, but have you ever been really hungry? You know what the feeling, the hunger that you feel inside? I think the Holy Spirit gives a feeling like that sometimes. It just empty, just crushes, just hurts. And we've all had that in one way or another with a loved one or something else, no doubt about it. But the shepherd's heart, you hurt on the inside. And you say, Lord, why? Why? I don't know. I could itemize maybe some of those groups, and I'll have to only settle for what God would tell me about it. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, Psalms 119. Great peace have they that love thy law, and what? Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. You find somebody that's right with God, they're not easy to offend. Amen. Really. You find somebody that's serving God, they don't have time for some of that silly, childish foolishness that is of the flesh and of the world and of the devil. And somebody that's following close to the Lord, somebody can make a mistake and they don't dwell on it. They pass it on. They forgive it. They don't mess them up. But folks that are following the Lord afar off, they're the ones that get offended. Get offended so quickly sometimes, over so little, so nothing. And we could talk about it. I've had folks leave Landmark after they come for a while, and they'd say, well, that church is not friendly. Now, I want to ask the Lord, Lord, do I have to answer for them? Because they only came in at the last minute after the song service had started. And Lord, they were the first one out the side door here or there. How, Lord, could we show ourselves friendly to them? Was while I was preaching or while the song service was going on, was a bunch of folks supposed to get up and go to them and show themselves friendly? If you want to make friends, you show yourself friendly. You make yourself available. And the truth is, I appreciate the folks that come a little early to church. And we have a little time of fellowship. Or maybe they even hang around a little bit after church. But if you just pop in and pop out, then don't blame us if we can't show ourselves friendly to you. And that happens. Lord, am I going to have to answer for them? I don't know. You know, there's another group. Lord may say, what about that group over there? Well, Lord, that's the group over there that said, I said something and it hit their pet sin and they had guilt and it jumped out. And so they figured I knew about it and I was aiming at them. I want to tell you something. This book's aimed at all of us. And I didn't write it. That could be a shock to some folks. I didn't write it. And if the preacher can line up his preacher with the preaching with the book, and then it hits you, you ought to thank God that he cared enough to hit you. To help you to get well, help you to straighten out, help you to fix something. Amen? That's the truth. Lord, have I got an answer for that crowd that said, well, I got offended because he said that about me and he knew I was involved in that. Well, maybe I did, and most likely I didn't. But God did. So you're going to blame the messenger for the message that came from the Lord? Amen. I know this is an excited preaching, but some of you are afraid I'm fixing to ring your number if I keep on going down the list. So you're getting quiet on me. That's all right. Lord, am I going to have to answer for that group over there pouting in the corner? Lord, I don't know what they're pouting about. I just sense the vibes aren't right. You ever have that with people? Huh? I'm talking about even folks that maybe you're not that close to. Now, I know when you're close to your wife and close to your husband, sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. My wife can come so close to reading my mind. And I read hers pretty good, too, sometimes. Because we've been together a long time. And we know what it takes to needle the other one, too. I don't know what it was. We went home for lunch or something one day. It's been a long time. See if I can remember it right. Somehow or another, I was needling her about something. I'm sure I was right, whatever it was. But anyway, I was needling her about something. And she looked back at me and she said, you better watch it. I'll tell you what you said this morning. Now, I want to tell you something. That scares me to death. It just stabs me right here because I'm prone to think I said it right and I said it wrong. And I don't like to hear that. And she knows that. So she said, I'll tell you what you said this morning. I said, what'd I say? Phone rang. She went to the phone and she talked. And she talked, and she listened, and she talked. And I'm thinking, what did I say? What did I say? I went over every word in that sermon. What did I say? What did I say? What did I do? Driving me nuts. Reckley, she hangs up the phone, comes and sits back down at the table, and I look at her, I said, what did I say? She said, oh, nothing. Now, she lost a lot of reward in heaven over that. You understand that, don't you? But she knew how to get me. You understand? Vibes, we call them. That's a new word somewhat, some of us old timers. But somebody says, I felt a coldness with them. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about hot tongue and cold shoulder that some of you husbands deserve from your wife. I'm talking about just something you can't figure out. What did I do? What did I say? What went wrong? Where did I offend them? And I asked the Lord, have I got an answer to those folks when I can't even figure out what I done, what they think I done? There's a crowd like that. They're just pouting. They're just giving you a feeling, well, I'm not right with you. You're not right with me. Something's wrong. That's a sad thing, but I'm afraid they're on the list maybe. Someone else offended. Here's the thing. Someone else offended someone else in the church, but they punished the preacher, they think, by leaving the church. Now think that one through with me. See if this thing's on. A little bit in the tape room. Turn me up some. Let me give you an illustration. Still not much power on it. All right, I'm gonna go over here, and Matt's gonna say something to me, and it's gonna offend me. But I'm gonna leave him. And I'm gonna go over here and just slap the fire to Brother Perkins. Say, why'd you hit him? Because he offended me. Does that make sense? Of course not. Of course not. But that's what people do. This one on this side of the building offended me, so I won't even come to church no more. It don't matter. I could go way over here and sit and probably not see them in 10 Sundays. Crazy, isn't it? Well, I'm going to leave the church because I got offended because he said something. Now, he may not know what he said, but he did, so I'm offended. So I'm going to leave the church, but on the way out, I'm going to toss a grenade over my shoulder and blow the whole place up. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about if I got offended, then let me draw everybody I can out. Just throw a hand grenade in the whole thing. That's sad, but it's true. I mean... It's amazing. Now, Lord, if I got an answer to that group, that's scary to me because I really don't know much what to do with them, to tell you the truth. If I got an answer to that group, Lord, if I got an answer to the crowd that got offended about something and they left the church, but then they went around to every friend, be it on eyeball to eyeball or be it on the Facebook, if you're my friend, you'll leave that place too. If you're my friend, you'll leave that place too. And if you're my friend, you'll go with them. So they don't know what I got offended about, or maybe not think it's much or nothing. But to keep the friendship, they'll find somewhere else to go. Oh, it don't matter where they're going. Maybe don't believe the King James Bible. Maybe it's got rock music. Maybe its doctrine's bad. Maybe it's as worldly as the devil, but at least they're leaving here. Isn't that ridiculous? Judgment seat's going to have a bright light shining on a lot of things. You know that? And as a preacher, Lord, I hope I don't have to answer for some of that. Please excuse me with that crowd that I can't seem to do anything about. I hope you will let me off on some of them anyway, Lord. I mean, Lord, I didn't really know why that group quit. But I do know this, when they quit, they took all their kin and all their friends, and it hurt. It hurt. It hurt after you've been at it years and years with people and you've helped them when they were sick. You've helped them with their problems. Maybe even got them to Christ and got them saved. You say, what are you doing? I'm pleading the preacher's case a little bit tonight. That's what I'm doing. I'm reading these verses that apply. They do apply. And I'm asking the Lord, have I got an answer for all of that? And I'll admit, it hurts. Now the command is to follow in the faith, to obey them that have rule over you. Listen to them, that they can answer for you with joy and not with grief, because it says if they do have to answer for you in grief, it'll be unprofitable to you. So it's not only the preacher that appears at the judgment seat of Christ, it's every believer. It's everybody that knows what the Word teaches, been saved. And you know, if you treated a job that way, if you treated a business that way, it'd be something else, but people treat their church that way. That's terrible, isn't it? But it's true. So I'm whining a little bit, Lord. I'm just whining a little bit about some of it, and I admit that. So does the Lord have an answer for me? Well, I think he does. And The final answer, of course, will be at the judgment seat. But I believe if the Lord was going to give me an answer that I'd look to in the Word of God, I'd turn over probably to the last few verses of the book of Daniel. You might want to turn over and look at it with me. You know, Daniel's been through a lot. He's probably 90 years old by now, maybe more. He's had to stand up to the king, to the authorities, to the bureaucrats that had him thrown in the fiery furnace. He's been through it. And God has given him prophecy and given him truths that he wrote down, and sometimes he didn't understand the truths he was writing and preaching all himself. And when you get down to the book, bottom of the book, last of the verses of the book, you find Daniel asking the Lord some things. And verse 8, chapter 12, last chapter. Daniel says, I heard, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? He said, Lord, I'm puzzled. I heard you. I wrote them down, but I don't understand. And he said, the Lord said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And I'm going to drop down to the last verse, 13. Last verse of Daniel. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. The word lot there, it's representing the particular circumstances surrounding Daniel, his lot, his culture, his time, his opportunity, his commands from the Lord. And do you know what the Lord would say to me and will say to you? You won't understand it all yet, but just be faithful in the lot. Where your territory is at, in the marked off spot where you minister, in the marked off spot where you serve the Lord, be satisfied to trust me when you don't understand it all. And when you feel like there's nothing I can do about it, when you feel like I failed here or there, God says, just wait. Your lot might be different from his lot, or from his lot, or from her lot, but it's your lot. And there's a set of rules, circumstances, events, problems, challenges. Just keep going your way, being faithful in your lot. And I say to you tonight as God's people, don't let things shake you up too much. I said to somebody this week, it's easy to look on the bad things, and I wish we didn't have them. But the devil lusts for us to look at them and not look at the good things. Amen. And we got to be careful about that. Look at God's blessings. You know what David did when people wanted to stone him? He encouraged himself in the Lord. All his friends, the wives and kids had been kidnapped, and they wanted to blame David for it. And that's a powerful story where David encouraged himself in the Lord, and the Lord took him through it. And I want to say to you, I get up here and I'm negative on some of what's going on in the world and everything, and some of the stuff that reaches down even to our church and affects us, but let's don't just look at the negative. I don't want to put my head in the sand. I want to know what's going on. Be informed. But let's not also take our eyes off the good that God is doing. Amen. Now tonight I haven't per se preached the gospel to you, but if you're here unsaved, we'd love for you to come forward and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But more, if you're here as a believer and you're discouraged over something, and somebody's let you down or stabbed you in the back or lied about you or something else, get your eyes off of that. And look at, you say, well, I lost a friend. Well, how many friends you got left? Look at them. Look at them. Let God
encourage you like David did. Look to the Lord for encouragement. He'll give it to you. Don't let the devil trick you out of it. Maybe tonight be a good time to say, Lord, here it is. Monday's coming, another whole week, and I just need your help to face it. Might be a good time to make a commitment. Lord, I'm going to get up in the morning thinking about